What was that number?
This is the operator. Will you kindly deposit 10 cents for 3 minutes, sir?
I got an operator.
Will you kindly deposit 10 cents, sir?
Operator, where are you?
This is the San Diego operator. Will you kindly deposit a dime, sir?
Don't go away, operator. Hey, I got an operator in San Diego.
I'm sorry, sir. You'll have to deposit another dime.
You got a dime?
No, I don't think so. No, at least I have a $20 bill. I could tuck it in.
Yeah. I got a quarter.
I'm sorry, sir. We cannot make change. If you give me your name and address, I'll send you 15 cents.
I don't know where we are.
If you wish me to continue to keep this line open, you'll have to deposit the quarter.
That's an operator. Don't lose it.
An operator!
Did you deposit the quarter?
There's no place to put it.
I'm sorry. I cannot keep this line open.
Operator, wait. Listen to me. We're shipwrecked, you see, and we found this telephone line and we tapped into it. And we're on a deserted island. There's no telephone booth or even a phone.
Why do I get all the nuts?
Listen, we reached her, we'll reach somebody else.
He's gonna call you and say cactus. Mob your business forward customer service. You'd rather be Roy Gerbils from your TNI when you sleep at night.
If you're subscribed to the PLA radio feed, you probably noticed a video show up on it recently showing you how to take over the frequencies of fast food restaurants using nothing but a CB radio and a toaster. This video has been watched about 100,000 times now after it was linked to by Gizmodo, The Consumerist, Make Magazine, FARC, and a bunch of other sites. For a day, it was the number 8 most viewed video on YouTube and the number 5 top favorite. And the best part about all of this was that video was an April Fool's prank. There's no way to modify a CB radio to broadcast on drive-through frequencies, and there's no component inside of a toaster that will help you modify your CB radio. The intent of this video was to trick as many people as I could into taking apart their toasters, looking for an electronic component inside that doesn't exist. Users on the PLA forums helped out with this prank by posting comments on the YouTube video claiming that it worked perfectly, and they also screwed with the people that joined our forums asking for help on modifications. So far, I've received dozens of angry emails from people that have actually taken apart toasters, hair dryers, curling irons, and electric heaters. Some people have even purchased CB radios from eBay and Radio Shack. Some people have gotten really pissed off about this, and then a few others have actually thought it was funny when they found out they'd been fooled. So if you're one of the people that bought a CB radio and destroyed a toaster, then April Fools! Speaking of the PLA videos, I'm going to start putting those on the same feed as PLA Radio. I usually only end up doing maybe 2 or 3 videos per year, so hopefully that doesn't get too annoying. I'm just lazy and I don't feel like maintaining 2 separate feeds anymore. And speaking of YouTube videos, according to a YouTube user named Richard Cardo, the PLA are now suspects in the kidnapping and murder of JonBenet Ramsey. For those of you that don't know, JonBenet was a 6-year-old beauty queen in Colorado, and she was murdered in 1996 at the age of 6, I believe. Richard's put together hours of painstaking research in 17 separate videos implicating me and other so-called members of the PLA. He's been all over my websites, finding anything that had my handwriting on it, and then comparing that handwriting with the handwriting samples on the kidnapper's note. He does side-by-side comparisons in his videos and brings up all kinds of evidence against me and other members of the PLA. And as far as I can tell, this guy's completely serious. He actually thinks we're involved in this high-profile kidnapping and murder. You can view all the evidence against the PLA by going to youtube.com/user/RichardCardo. I'll also put a link to Richard's YouTube page in the show notes.
Oh my god. Phonelosers.org is temporarily unavailable. My miserable intranet life is at stake here. We need to get that website back up ASAP.
Sorry about the downtime. We've switched servers on the website and everything is sort of back up to normal, but we're still having a few issues. Hopefully, everything will be taken care of soon.
Welcome to Belle. Bienvenue chez Belle.
I recently found out that Bell Canada is now using voice authentication to verify their customer's identity. To access their account, a customer has to say a passphrase into the phone. The passphrase goes like this. At Bell, my voice is my password.
For security reasons, I'll need to authenticate your voice. After the beep, clearly say, at Bell, my voice is my password.
A customer records their voice reading that phrase onto their account, and then only their voice can validate the account. Once the account is voice validated, the customer is transferred to a Bell employee who will do anything on the account that they want, including going over charges on the bill and ordering or removing services. Today, I attempted to access a customer's account about a dozen times using different voices to try and fool the system, but nothing worked.
Sorry, we'll need to try again because I couldn't match your voice with the one we have on file.
This works pretty much just like the voice authentication in the movie Sneakers, where an employee of a toy company has to speak their name and the phrase, "My voice is my passport, verify me." In this movie, Martin and his friends need to break into Needlenose Ned Ryerson's office so they can get back their Panasonic answering machine that the toy company stole from him.
Kreese, what's this mean? My voice is my passport, verify me?
Some sort of voice print ID. I'll check it out.
So they get this girl to go on a date with the guy, and she gets him to say all of the words required for the passphrase into the tape recorder by doing things like this.
Oh, talk to me. You know what? I really love the sound of your voice. And there's this one word. I've always loved the sound of this word. Oh, oh no.
No, what?
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
No, I would. I would.
Never
what?
Mind. No.
What? Please. What?
All right. I would really like to hear you say the word passport.
Passport?
After they splice all of their bits of audio tape together, they end up having a clip that sounds like this.
Hi, my name is Werner Brandis. My voice is my passport. Verify me.
Of course, in the movie it works perfectly, and they're able to break into the guy's office by playing a tape recording of his voice. So I wanted to see if this kind of a trick would work on Bell Canada customers. But instead of going on a date with a Canadian, I would just make a phone call to them and try and trick them out of all the words that I needed. Here's how my call went.
Hello?
Oh, hello. Is this Leslie?
Yes, it is.
Hey, this is Craig from the Public Library.
Right.
I was just calling about the books that you have out with us. They're quite a bit overdue.
I'm sorry. What is overdue?
The books that you have out. You have A Voice in the Wind by Francis Rivers.
I never got no books out.
Did you hear which book I said?
Yeah.
Which one?
But you said Voice in the Wind, but I haven't got no books in the library.
Leslie has just said the word voice. That's one word down and five to go.
Oh, yeah, these were checked out on your account about 2 months ago. You also have For Whom the Bell Tolls by Ernest Hemingway.
No, I haven't got no books at all. In fact, I haven't been into the library for some time. That's strange, because I haven't used my card for quite some time.
Leslie has just used the word my. The word my is used two times in the passphrase. There are now only four words left.
Yeah, in fact, I used to come over, my daughter and I used to come over and use the computer there a bit, but I haven't been over for a long time.
Does she have a password on our computer?
I don't think so.
You don't think so what?
That she has a password on her computer.
We now have the word password. All that's left now is Bell, Is, and At.
We used your computers.
Oh, I see. Also, the other book out here is For Whom the Bell Tolls by Ernest Hemingway.
No, no.
Have you heard of that one?
No, not at all.
I see. Okay, well, we'll look into this. And
if you would, please, could you give me a call back and let me know what you find out on it? Because I'm quite interested. Which library is this?
We're at Public Library. We're on Street.
Yeah. I know where that is.
Leslie has given us the word is.
Because that's where the swimming pool is?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I've been over there a few times, but not in the library as such. I come over to pick up some blue box containers, because that's right at the library there, eh?
Uh-huh.
But no, I haven't got no books from there at all. That's strange.
Yeah. And you know where this location is at?
Oh, yes.
And you've never heard of For Whom the Bell Tolls?
No, no, no. Like, I would have no interest in getting that book. I can get my library card out and just see what it says on it.
In getting what book?
I say I can get my card out of my wallet and just see what it says on it.
Well, you said you wouldn't be interested in getting, which book was it?
In either one of the books that you've mentioned, For Whom the Bell Tolls, or...
There's the word bell. Only one word is left to go.
Yeah, I'll try and figure this out here, and I'll give you guys a call back.
Would you call me back and let me know? Because I'm going to check my library card out to see what it shows on it. But can you give me your phone number, then?
Oh, sure. Our phone number here at the library is, it's a 2.
Just a minute, I'll write that down.
1.
1.
Uh-huh. And then you press the at sign.
Press the at.
And there's the last word, the word at.
I mean the pound sign.
Okay.
Not the at sign.
And
then it's extension 113.
Extension 113.
Right.
Really, I was expecting to have to make several calls to Leslie, but luckily I managed to get all the sound clips I needed with just the one call. And then 10 minutes of editing the recording of our phone call produced this.
At Bell, my voice is my password.
So would this be enough to fool Bell Canada's authentication system? A few of the words obviously don't match how Leslie probably recorded his original passphrase, which could confuse the system. And also, I'm playing the sound through a telephone line and with a digital voice recorder that I'm holding up to my phone's mouthpiece. So it's not going to have the best sound quality. But let's try it out and see how it works.
Welcome to Bell. Bienvenue chez Bell. Please enter your 10-digit phone number. If you don't have a phone number, press pound. I'll get you to an agent. For security reasons, I'll need to authenticate your voice. After the beep, clearly say, at Bell, my voice is my password.
At Bell, my voice is my password.
Thanks. Your voice has been authenticated. Let me get a customer service representative to help you.
As you heard, it works perfectly. I called back 5 more times and each time it worked. After validating Leslie's voice, I was transferred to an employee. A couple of the employees still tried to validate my account by asking for my address, postal code, and the account number on Leslie's bill. But all I had to do was remind them that I'd already validated my account with my voice, so I didn't see why I should need to do it again. Both of those employees agreed, and we moved on to the business of looking at Leslie's account. Every employee I spoke with was able to see that I'd used their voice authentication system. And all of the employees were willing to do anything I asked them to on Leslie's account, from going over the bill to making changes on the account. If I wanted to, I could have added phone lines to his account, disconnected a service, added and removed features, and I could have asked them to go over Leslie's toll calls. Phone companies have been talking about using voice authentication since at least the early 90s when I first heard about it. But this is the first time I've seen any company actually use it. And it's a good idea in theory. The problem is that it actually removes a layer of security. Normally, I would need to get personal information about Leslie to access his account, but now I don't even need that. Instead, you just have to make a phone call to him and get him to say the right words. It only took me 30 minutes to make this phone call to Leslie and to put the tape together, and I'm betting that pretty much anybody would fall for this kind of ruse on the phone.
This is the general delivery mailbox. You have new messages.
Hello, Phone Losers of America. This is Dan here, calling from the UK. I've loved your show. I listen to all your podcasts now, found them online, so there's a few people from the UK now who are listening to your show, and yeah, we think it's pretty cool, so keep up the good work, because they are just amazing, man, and hopefully we could set up the Phone Losers of the UK at some point, so see you, bye. Oh, and by the way, Captain.
Hey, it's Austin, and I'm walking down Reno. I'm so fucking drunk right now. And I'm passing by this convenience store, and this old lady, like, she's screaming. I don't know what she's screaming about. But anyway, I was looking through my phone, and I saw the number, and I was like, I'll call the voicemail and talk. And yeah, okay, I will call again later when I'm okay and I'm not all fucked up. All right, bye.
Mr. Brad Carter, there's only one thing I want to say to you. One thing only. But you have to make sure you're listening real close for it. Are you listening? Are you listening? Make sure your TV is off. Make sure your radio is off. Make sure your air conditioners are off. matter of fact, I'm going to turn off my air conditioner right now, just so you can hear me a lot better. Can you hear me now? Good. Now, I want to say something. I'm only going to say it once. I'm going to say it loud and clear. Here's what I want to say. Are you listening?
Unfortunately, the PLA voicemail cut off the end of that message.
Hey, Brad Carter. Hi. You should really talk on your next episode about how to get addresses from servers, because apparently we have your address from your server.
How to get addresses from servers. Dua Who is on the server. There, I talked about it.
Barbie, where is the cactus I ordered? Fuck you, motherfucker. I paid 25 cacti for this shit. We could have made beautiful cactus babies together, but now all is lost. I am going to kill myself.
Hey, Brad, how you doing? It's the Dice Man. Look, do me a favor, huh? Why don't you do a PLA radio show about some chicks with some big, fat fucking tits and huge fucking tree trunk thighs to wrap around your fucking hips as you're slamming your fucking monster brick in between those giant, puffy fucking pussy lips of hers, and then you blast your fucking load all full of cheese whiz all over her fucking smad shit.
Hey, RV, I love the show. I just had a correction to your last episode, episode 324. Turns out you can contact the Neo Tokyo Deathly AI system from outside the Greater Japanese Prosperity Sphere. All you have to do is get your standard Radio Mansion tone dialer and replace the timing crystal with the dilithium crystal. And then call up the regular AI system, and when you get this call cannot be connected, you hit 5, and it will send an inverse tachyon pulse down the phone line, allowing your call to go through. Some people say, ooh, tachyon pulse is a slight, there's a chance, you know, of time displacement, but the most I've ever gotten is a couple seconds off. Love the show. Bye.
This is the last message.